sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now.
My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. Call me illogical, I just don't care. Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
It's just a sunny day.
Hey, hey, it's a sunny day.
It's just
day.
A sunny day.
It's the KSL Greenhouse. Expert tips for flowers, trees, gardens, and soil. Our hosts are Maria Chaleos and Ton Bettis on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can text us your questions at 57500. It is the season for jack-o'-lanterns. I wanted to start this hour, the top of the hour feature, talking about ways that you can make your jack-o'-lantern last longer. And Ton, seems like the top way is not to carve it too soon.
If you carve it too soon, it will rot, and that's just how it goes. And so it's usually within 3 or 4 days of Halloween. And then as soon as Halloween done, is you send those to Green Waste or put them into your garden or whatever you're going to do with them. So that is a key to not having it spoil too quickly, is just carving it soon before Halloween instead of a week or two.
So what are some things we can do after we've carved the pumpkin?
One of them is to use a bleach solution, to where you take a quart of water with 1 tablespoon of chlorine bleach and shake it up a little bit, spray the inside and the outside of the pumpkin, especially focusing on where you've made cuts.
Mm-hmm.
And that in and of itself will make that pumpkin last at least a week beyond it normally would. I've seen similarly people use something like Lysol and spray the outside and the inside of the pumpkin. We, growing up, there was a preschool down the road from us, or up the road from us, that would do a big pumpkin walk. It was a big preschool, and so it would take, 30 or 40 minutes to get through all the pumpkins. And they would have thousands of them carved, and it's just the neighborhood kids would come up during that week and carve, and they use Lysol on all of their pumpkins, and that helped preserve them. So either way, you can't eat the pumpkin if you either use the bleach or the Lysol, though. So they will need to be recycled if you do that.
Okay. So what about the use of petroleum jelly to help preserve
Vaseline
the
up
cuts?
Your pumpkin?
Yeah.
It'll make it shiny, and that does help also. It seals up those cuts to help keep microorganisms from being able to penetrate in and decompose those areas too quickly. And so that is
so
another
would you just
thing.
Do it around the cuts, though, not on the whole pumpkin?
I
right?
would do it around Ew. The cuts. Yeah. I mean, you could have like this greased up bodybuilder pumpkin that looked like a WWE wrestler.
Would olive oil work the same as the
olive oil?
The
will do that too, yes.
Okay. So What is this that I read that you could use hairspray?
Hairspray is just another thing
I've heard the Vaseline before. I've never heard hairspray.
What you're trying to do is minimize oxygen penetration into the cuts and on the inside of the pumpkin. And so if you do a healthy dose of the Aquanet, man, a greased up pumpkin with 80s hair, claw hair with Aquanet. We're making progress.
Yeah, right.
No, but you can spray hairspray on it too, because the hairspray will create a seal that keeps oxygen from penetrating in, and that will also help preserve the pumpkin.
Okay, so we're seeing a lot of stuff. It used to be everybody always cut the stem part, cut the hole in the pumpkin from the top. You're seeing tons of information about maybe it's better to cut it from the bottom. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's easier to get your base set, light the candle, or put the light in, and then
without
just set
burning
the,
yourself.
Yeah, and if you cut the bottom off, you don't necessarily even need to put it back because it's just sitting on the ground. You might want to put a board or something down just in case.
Plate,
but
board,
yeah, you don't necessarily need to put the base back.
Okay. So at least you won't burn yourself when you're putting the candle in, right?
Correct. Now, I will mention that our tip of the week is actually on saving those pumpkin seeds.
Oh.
Delicious. You can get the store-bought ones, and those are great. But I've done this for several years to where you get the pumpkin seeds and they're not quite as big as the ones in the store, but you collect them and it takes 10 or 15 minutes to put them in water and get all the orange slime cleaned off of them.
It's my husband's job.
Oh, man. But then, you know, you put them in a little bit, you boil the seeds and then let them dry, put them with a little bit of oil and salt or whatever seasonings you want to and bake them. Fabulous. And so that will be hitting social media. We emailed over to Michelle on Wednesday, our crack producer. But
perfect.
And don't throw those seeds away. The other thing is if you buy your pumpkins from a store, they probably come from a field of several acres or maybe even hundreds of acres. You can save the seeds and just plant them the next year. And because they're probably the same variety and they cross-pollinate with the same variety, they'll come back true to type. And even if, you know, let's say you got a hybrid, you will still get pretty good pumpkins the next year. And so I would recommend if you want to plant pumpkins the next year, save the seeds from this year's jack-o'-lanterns for next year's pumpkins if you grow them in your garden, but don't save them after that.
Okay, so how do you save the seeds, though?
Well, clean them just like you normally would. Just get all the slime off them the best you can. Let them dry on some waxed paper plates, like Dixie plates, for 3 or 4 or 5 days until you know they're dry. And just put them in a paper envelope and set them aside. You know, you can put them in your garage for the winter, or if you want to store them in a freezer, you'd have to put them in a mason jar with a sealed lid, and you can freeze those and they'll last for 5 to 10 years in a freezer and just plant them as you need. But they're fairly easy to store.
All right. Anything else about pumpkins we need to tell folks? Jack-o'-lanterns.
Jack-o'-lanterns. Yes. Just don't carve them too early and make sure and get them cleaned up before they start to rot.
Okay, and if you want to use your pumpkin as a centerpiece, you can also check out a video that I think I did last year or the year before with succulents, making a succulent centerpiece.
Growing and succulents from the middle of the pumpkin.
Honest, they don't grow from the, well, they actually do. They grow in the moss on top, but it's really a clean way to have a centerpiece in your house. It's super fun and easy to do. And then those succulents on that pumpkin will grow for a couple of months at least.
Yeah. And then if you want to, you can move the succulents to a more long-term or permanent home. You know, I did talk to somebody that's catering and they had purchased a bunch of small pumpkins and winter, like fall gourds. And I didn't even think about this, but they were decorating the meals they were serving with these. And I saw that after they were done, they were collecting them all and putting them back in the boxes for the next event.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can check out that video. You can find it on the KSL Greenhouse Facebook page under videos. It might be hard. You're going to have to scroll down quite a bit. Or you can go to the KSL Greenhouse page on YouTube and you can find it there as well. We're going to take a break. Come back with your calls and questions. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us, 57500. Thank you so much for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Make sure you tune in on Sundays to hear the First and 12 show. It's sponsored by Macy's, your local grocery store. You can visit Macy's.com to learn more. Macy's Happy Shopping. And thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse show. Ton, we've had just a great morning. Many people calling and texting. Right now, though, our phone lines are open and you can call us at 801-575-8255, and you can text us at 57500. Next listener says, we've been talking a lot about grapes this morning. They said that they had grapes all through late September. They believe that they're the Thompson seedless, but this year they started out great, and then they got quite a few later, but something ate all the rest of the grapes off the vines that they had seen growing, and they're worried that that's going to happen again next year. They live in Centerville. And is there something that they can do to prevent something from eating the grapes late in the season?
Well, they're probably not Thompson. They could be, but they're most likely interlochen or hemrod, which are green grapes, very similar taste, but they're cold hardy here. What's eating them is probably either a skunk or a raccoon. And they can try netting the grapes with bird netting. That might keep them out temporarily, but the best thing to do is just harvest the grapes when they're ripe.
Okay, next listener lives in Saratoga Springs. They have pink blueberries that they've had shipped in from North Carolina, and they want to know if they should plant them now or in the spring.
now, if they can, I would download USU's fact sheet on maintaining blueberries. They are not easy in Utah. And they're a hobby plant that are going to require a lot of babying. So in essence, they just got a new puppy.
Okay, so, need to learn how to take care of that new puppy because blueberries have a tough time here.
They do.
Okay, next person says that they're getting an Autumn Brilliance service berry today. Any advice on the care?
We need an applause button that we can just hit, you know, with that. Yes, there we go.
Okay.
Great tree. And so you win the candy bar that we can't give away.
It's in my landscape plan.
Yes. So mm-hmm. Autumn Brilliant Service Berry. So what was I just lost my train of thought. What do they want to know about it?
Just care. What's your advice on the care for it?
Plant it, water it. It should grow on its own.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of those things that they'll need to do some pruning a little bit just to keep it not really in tree form, but if they get some stray branches or something, but once it establishes, they're really low maintenance.
Okay, would they plant it now or in the spring?
Now, you don't want overwinter trees in the pots. They usually don't do well overwintered.
Mm-hmm.
So just get it in the ground.
All right, next person has a chartreuse maple tree, just like several in their neighborhood. It's died. It was about 10 years old. This happened all over the neighborhood. Is it verticillium wilt, or what do you think was happening?
It could be sustained powdery mildew every year. It's probably what's called crimson sentinel. It's a columnar red leaf Norway maple.
Mm-hmm.
Norway maples are not long lived, and it could be that it was damaged by the winter last year and never leafed out. But they're just, especially the red leafed maples, they take a long time to get established, and they're just more touchy than other trees.
Okay. Natalie is on the line in Ogden. Good morning, Natalie. What was your question?
Good morning. I have a Norwegian columnar pine tree, and it's been growing against my house for about 20 years. But I've noticed that it's really dry and brown on the inside, but you know, on the outside, it looks like it's healthy and has lots of good needles. But I don't know if it's a water issue, or do you think I have a pest?
Well, it could be shedding needles just because every 3 to 4 years, a spruce or a pine will shed needles, and because it's not using them anymore. You know, if you've got a good 18 inches of foliage, I wouldn't worry. But if it's only like this year's growth, you could have a disease called needle cast disease where the new growth comes out and then it is attacked by a fungus, and the next year's new growth comes out, and eventually the tree declines.
I see, because I can't get to the top of the tree because it's quite tall, but the bottom of the tree, like pretty much the majority of the bough, you know, except the very tips, is really dry and brittle on the, but I, you know, yeah.
So look up USU and needle cast disease and see if that fits. They will recommend a fungicide treatment at a certain point in the spring that you can pick up these fungicides from local garden centers if that fits. The other thing that could be going on is that you have weather or environmental stress from too much or too little water. A lot of times if a tree is not, you know, the spruce trees are not really drought hardy and need to be watered every 10 days to 2 weeks. And if they're not, then that will cause a lot of stress. Or if they're overwatered and in a really wet soil, that can cause a lot of problems too.
Okay. Awesome. I'll talk to USU and see if it looks like what I have. Thank you so much.
Well, look it up online. If it is, then we'll have some explanations on what to do about it.
Great.
All right,
Natalie. Thank you.
Thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, what seeds are good to scatter now, and then how would they prevent the quail from eating them?
That's the interesting part of this whole thing, is keeping quail and other birds from eating.
Just that netting,
but,
right?
Yeah, the netting might help. They could maybe cover it with a light layer of the of like mulch or compost or something, but it's really hard to keep quail out. They could, anything that is in a wildflower mix can be planted now. That's really a broad question, but most any perennial that you can grow from seed can go in late October. Some annuals. I know some gardeners that will plant their seeds, their pea seeds, in early to mid-November before the ground freezes and just let them germinate the next year. And so a lot of things can be and will overwinter fine, overwinter quite well, but I need more details. And if you have quail, it may be that you need to plant live plants.
Okay. Next listener says, can you move a Rosa Sheridan without killing it? They have three that are about 2.5 feet apart and would like to move the center one to give them more room.
Yes, they would need to wait until the leaves fall, and they'll want to put a root ball on something like that at least 18 inches to 2 feet wide if they can pull it off and go a foot to 18 inches deep. So they're going to do a trench around the bush so that there's 18 inches of soil, you know, 9 inches in either direction surrounding the trunk. And then just create, dig down a foot to 18 inches and carefully undercut with a shovel and then just move it to a new home. And it may set it back, but that's our best bet.
All right. We need to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. When we come back, Tom, your call will be up next, and we'll take more of your texts as well. We have a few that are still waiting. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Text us, 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Get ready to embark on a spellbinding adventure at Red Butte Gardens Botanical Fall Festival now through October 30th. Discover the magical properties of real-life plants as you attend classes in potions, spells, and more. Find out more at redbuttegarden.org. Join Weber Basin Water for the Learning Garden Fall Spooktacular on Friday, October 27th from 4 to 8. The free family event will include a treasure hunt, entertainment, and bird shows. Find out more at weberbasin.gov. Now a look at this week's Quick Tip.
The time is nearly here to start carving jack-o'-lanterns. Part of this is removing the fibrous strands from inside the pumpkin along with the seeds. The strands can go out into your garden, but don't throw out the seeds. I personally like to save them and roast them to eat later. They are very nutritious and very delicious. Preparing the seeds is quite simple and involves cleaning them, boiling them for around 10 minutes, and roasting them at 250 degrees. Download a complete recipe on the KSL Greenhouse Show Facebook and Instagram pages.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.